Amen. Thanks, Alistair. Well, it goes without saying that the last 2 years have been extremely difficult, haven't they? We've had a lot going on in our worlds, in our lives, not only a worldwide pandemic, but if you throw bushfires, floods, war into the mix, it can sometimes feel quite overwhelming, can't it? And you may feel overwhelmed today with the state of our world, and it looks like it's going downhill fast. But from the outset here this morning, my prayer for us all this Easter weekend is that we are filled with a renewed sense of hope, joy, and peace this Easter, amen? Because of all the world's events and all that's going on in our lives, and it may feel like you're in a difficult place right now, but my prayer again is that you would continue to pursue Him, particularly if it's your first time to church for a little while. Continue to pursue Him and to seek to understand Him, because when we do that, we truly grasp how wonderful and amazing He is, amen? So that's my prayer from the outset here today. But as we've come to navigate this pandemic in particular over the last little while, one of the lasting images for me, one of the key, themes and actions we've seen throughout society is this cry for freedom. There's been protest after protest, hasn't there? On this cry for freedom, all in the name of freedom. And the desire is to be set free, to not be in lockdown, to be free from restrictions and all that comes with it. And yes, it's been hard and extremely difficult for a lot of people in our world, in our own country, our own society. But I'm not here to debate the merits of the lockdown system or restrictions that have been put in place. But it has got me thinking over recent times, what is true freedom? What does it mean to be truly set free? What is true freedom truly all about? And this has been a topic not just in regards to the pandemic, but a topic that's dominated our society as well and our lifestyles. Society has been big on encouraging people to be free in who they are, to not be ashamed, to embrace who you truly are. And there's some good merits in that way of thinking. For some, true freedom is tied down to how much money we have. For some of us, if we had $1 million or even $10 million to our name, we think it gets us to a place where we really want to be, a place of freedom and security. We want to be able to have breathing space and not be in a place where we don't have to worry about where the next dollar is coming from, because we're absolutely secure. But I believe all of this just points to the reality that there's this deep innate desire within each and every one of us to be free. Amen. We yearn for security and freedom. But I don't think we can truly grasp what it means to be truly free or what true freedom truly is until we experience or know what it's like to have your freedom ripped away from you, to experience true oppression, or maybe to be imprisoned. And one of those men, or one man in particular, who knows what it's like to experience true oppression and to lose your freedom is a man by the name of Reuben Hurricane Carter. You may have heard of him in history, but Reuben Hurricane Carter, as he was known, his nickname was the Hurricane. He was a professional boxer, and he was wrongfully accused of a crime he did not commit. He was at his peak of his powers as a boxer in 1966, and that's him on your screen there next to Muhammad Ali as well. But this man was at his peak of his powers in 1966, and this was right in the middle of the civil rights movement to abolish institutional racial segregation and discrimination, particularly against African Americans in the U.S. And as an African American man, Carter experienced oppression because of the color of his skin. And that discrimination would then lead to him being charged and sentenced to life in prison for the murder of 3 people. A sentencing that in many years later was acknowledged to have been predicated, and this is the legal language, the legal terminology, predicated upon an appeal to racism rather than reason, and concealment rather than disclosure. Basically, he was put in prison because of the color of his skin. He was prejudiced against. And can you imagine living in those times? If you were of a darker skin complexion and going through that. People experience racism even today. But can you imagine going through that and then that being the reason that you are sent to prison? Imagine then what your freedom would feel like when you eventually walked free from all that. Well, we're talking today about what that feeling of being taken captive, being a slave and then walking free. For the reality is each and every one of us here today, even Reuben Carter, every single human that has walked this earth, all of humanity are guilty in a spiritual sense. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as Jesus said in that passage that Alistair read out to us, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Because this is the reality of our existence. When we step outside God's rule and reign, ultimately His will for our lives and this world, when we go our own way, when we run our own race, we find ourselves trapped instead of free, incarcerated, enslaved, imprisoned. And we're in this position and unable to find a way back in our own merits, our own strength. We can't earn our way back or fix our own brokenness. As much as we try to do it, we can't because of our limitations, because we are human. But some would say God is a controlling God. We should be free to do what we want, to express ourselves as we want, to live as we please. Society wants you to believe that, doesn't it? That's the message that society and culture wants you to believe, or worse still, that there is no God and life is all about self-gratification, self-fulfillment. Ultimately, discovering what works for you, this is what true freedom truly is. It's all about choice and your choice to do as you please. But I personally, as a follower of Jesus, believe what the Bible teaches, and that is that all of this is a deception and a lie of our enemy, Satan. He wants us to believe that we are truly free when we do what we please, do what makes us feel good about ourselves. Again, this is the lie that society wants us to believe as well, and they believe that to be truly human, to be truly set free, is to choose your own path, choose your own adventure. And that is what liberates us. That is what sets us free and frees us from the restraints that dictate how we should live. But in many ways, this idea and this notion of what true freedom truly is, or that true freedom is the absence of restraints, misses the complexity, I believe, of what true freedom truly is. For example, when it comes to our food choices in life, if we were free to choose what we wanted to eat, I'm sure many of us here wouldn't be that healthy, would we? Unfortunately, eating whatever we please, McDonald's, KFC, chocolate chips, that's not going to be good for your blood pressure. It's not going to be good for your blood sugar levels, is it? Your weight levels. The reality is if we want to live a healthy lifestyle and to live a long, healthy life, then we need to restrict what we eat. Amen? Amen? Let's do it together. We can do it. As hard as it is. We have to restrict what we eat if we want to have a healthy diet and have a healthy life. And I mean, if I just gave my children the freedom to choose whatever they wanted to eat, it wouldn't go well with them. Again, it would lead to chocolate and lollies, whatever they wanted. It just doesn't work like that. We have to restrict what we eat. Ultimately, to practice discipline and restraint actually helps us realize our full potential. So the key, as Tim Keller puts it, is not to avoid every kind of restriction and constraint, but to find the constraints that are truly liberating. To find the constraints that are truly liberating. And if this is true when it comes to what we eat or even our hobbies, our vocations, our sports, our sporting life, then wouldn't it be true for the moral and spiritual realms as well? Freedom is not the absence of restrictions, it is the presence of the right restrictions. And the way of life that God, and that way of life is presented to us in God's Word, the Bible. And some people think that this is God's way of life limits us and constricts us from realizing who we truly are, but that's not true. It is actually the very blueprint, if you will, to help us realize our full human potential. Amen. Unfortunately, the light of our world and our society, again, is that breaking away from tradition, social expectations and rules, that all lead to satisfaction, fulfillment and happiness. But that, again, is the lie. Nor the quest and desire to become our own gods, if you will, it won't lead to the satisfaction we're after. It actually prevents us from living the full lives, the whole lives that God intends us to live. Mark Sayers writes, humans need covenant. Covenant being that binding agreement between two parties. For without it, we drown in our freedoms. And the Bible is full of covenants that God makes with us, his people. Again, humans need covenant because without it, we drown in our freedoms. If we were free to live our lives as we please, it would result in utter chaos. Amen. And that is why we see the world in the state that is today, because humans believe that we can just live as we please. We can conquer whoever we please. But we need a rule and life to live by. Amen. God's word, his way of life is encapsulated in his word for us. But again, we continually turn our backs on that reality. At times we do choose our own adventures, knowingly and unknowingly. And the consequence, as the Bible says, is death in a spiritual sense. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in our Christ, in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And that is the reality of God's love for us right there, amen? The free gift of eternal life. Although we are dead in our sin, there is a gift, there is a way out, and that reality is in the cross. For Jesus' mission ultimately, when he set foot on this earth, was to truly set us free. That was his mission. Jesus' mission was to set us free. And again, I believe we get a glimpse of that reality through the life and experience of Reuben Hurricane Carter. You know, he was incarcerated for over 20 years for a crime he didn't commit. And what got him out was a man by the name of Lezra Martin, a young teenage boy who believed in this man's freedom, who came across Reuben Hurricane Carter's autobiography in jail, well, that he wrote in jail. And so moved by this story that he took up Reuben's fight for him. And he, along with a group of Canadian entrepreneurs who took Lezra under his wing to help him with his academic pursuits, they took up his fight and they managed to get to a retrial. And this event is encapsulated in the movie The Hurricane. I want to show you a clip from the movie The Hurricane, which speaks to this reality here today. This is just before their final trial, starring Denzel Washington. Thanks, Flynn.
Come a long way, little brother.
Look, brother, I just want you to know if this doesn't work, I'm busting you out of here.
You are?
Yeah, that's right. I'm busting you out of here.
What was the first book you ever bought?
Yours.
You think that was an accident?
No.
No, me neither. Lesbar, short for Lazarus, he who is risen from the dead. Reuben. Genesis chapter 29, verse 32. behold a son. You put those two together, Lazarus, and you have behold a son who is risen from the dead. That's no accident. Hate put me in prison. Love's gonna bust me.
Just in case love doesn't, I'm gonna bust you out of here.
You already have, Liz.
Thanks, Flynn. Hey, put me in prison. Love is going to bust me out. If you could summarize the gospel in a few words, that is it, amen. Because the reality of our lives in a nutshell is that hate, lies, sin, our mistakes, they put us in a spiritual prison. Spiritual oppression and enslavement. The love of Jesus Christ, that is what busts us out, amen. That is what brings us into this glorious light. It's the very mechanism that brings us into His eternal life. But how does that death achieve that reality? Well, theologically speaking, and this is a long word, but it's called penal substitutionary atonement. That's the theological term for what Christ's death, or how Christ's death achieves this reality. Again, penal means penalized or punishment, substitutionary, someone else in another person's place, in this case, our place. Atonement. Atonement is to satisfy the demands and the consequences of sin so that we can be made one with God again. Atonement, at one meant. Penal, substitutionary, atonement. The reality of our situation is that sin could not go unpunished. God could not just let us do whatever we please. Sin could not go unpunished. Satisfaction had to be made. And the satisfaction required was far greater than any of us could muster up in ourselves. Far greater than anything we were capable of doing. It was only God Himself who could atone for the sins of humanity. But it needed to be a human being that atoned for the sins of humanity. And that is why God entered our existence. That is why God, in the form of Jesus Christ, entered into our world so that He Himself could atone for the sins of mankind. And He did this in order to set us free. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free from spiritual oppression, free from spiritual slavery, free from our sin, our mistakes, ultimately free from death. And that is what we're going to come to celebrate on Easter Sunday. The atonement achieves the satisfaction. An atonement for sin that was required. The resurrection accomplishes the job. And ultimately defeats death and sin for all eternity. And it's in these living realities that humanity now has the opportunity to be set free from all of it. And in doing so, Jesus arrested evil and arrested evil's stronghold on this world. So the question is, how do we get it? How do we obtain it? How do we obtain true freedom? How do we take this all on in our lives? The answer is we need to receive it. It's something that you and I need to choose to receive into our lives. True freedom is something we need to receive. We either reject it and we ignore it, or we receive it. We accept its truth. And Jesus spoke about this reality in the parable of the king who forgives a servant who is hopelessly in debt. And we find this story in Matthew 18, 21 to 35. And this is a story that you may be aware of, a story of a servant who owes his king 10,000 bags of gold, a clearly unpayable debt. And since the servant can't ever hope to repay the debt, the king orders him and his family sold into slavery. The servant begs for time and patience. The king, being merciful, agrees and cancels the entirety of the servant's debt. And at this point, the servant leaves and encounters a man who owes him 100 silver coins. It's a much, much smaller debt than the one he owes the king. This man can't repay, so the unforgiving servant, he puts him in a chokehold and says, "You need to pay me." He demands payment, and he has this man thrown into debtor's prison. And then Jesus talks about the king calling for this unforgiving servant again, labels him as wicked, and asks him why he didn't show the same mercy that he had been afforded. The servant's then thrown in prison to be tortured in order to pay off his original debt. It's a pretty brutal story, but what is interesting and what we must take note from the story is the word forgive. Because this word forgive in the ancient Greek, it means to loosen. It means to set free. Ultimately, it's a word you would use if you're going to untie your donkey from a post. Loosen. To lose. And so when the servant's massive debt was forgiven, it was meant to set off a chain reaction where that man would go and set free and forgive those who had a debt towards him. And then those people would continue to do the same, but this man doesn't. Because in his mindset, he still wants to repay the debt. He hasn't received the cancellation, the forgiveness of his debts from the king. He's still thinking, "I'll pay back every cent of that." And so he takes that mindset to the man who owes him money. That's not the way of life Jesus intends for us, amen? Because that just sends off a chain reaction of chokehold after chokehold, and the world has enough of that. But the way of life that Jesus wants for us is to set people free. So when we receive it, we need to pass it on, amen. Another man who was wrongfully accused and imprisoned for a crime he did not commit was Nelson Mandela. You may have heard of him. He says, "For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others." Jesus has set us this example. He has shown us the way, the only way that life can be lived is by accepting his offer of grace and forgiveness and then passing that on to others in our lives. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And the way we do that is by receiving this grace, this mercy with two open hands. It can't just be one. You can't just hold out one and then have someone else in the chokehold. No. Two open hands. Realizing that with this love and grace, it goes hand in hand with loving others, amen? Looking out for the needs and the interests of others. This is why Jesus said, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." So who in your life may you need to forgive today? Who in your life do you need to set free to forgive? You know, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." So wherever life finds you right now, maybe you feel burdened by the circumstances of this world, weighed down by your sin. Maybe it's filled you with a sense of shame. God's desire for you and I here today is that you are set free from that, amen? But those burdens, that shame, you're set free from it all. It's his heart for you, and this is what today represents. He wants you to know that you don't have to prove yourself or prove your place. He loves you and I dearly, and he wants you to find your security, your adequacy in these words today. It is finished. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that brings us now to this time of communion, a time where we reflect on and reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made on our behalf. A time where we look at this symbol of freedom and we partake in it. For that is what it is, a symbol of freedom and hope. So as you take of the cup today, a symbol of his bloodshed. As you take or partake of eating of the bread, which is a symbol of his body broken, I encourage us to reflect on those areas of our life we may need to get right with him. To be set free of all those things that weigh us down, the baggage, the shame, the guilt. But it takes us receiving this reality to our lives, amen. And so before we take off the cup and the bread here today, there's a pen and paper that you would have received when you arrived. And what I want to encourage us to do as a way of freeing us from those things is just writing down on that bit of paper the sin that may be entangling your life, the things that may be weighing you down, things that you're burdened by. And I want to encourage you to symbolically come today to rip it up, to place it in this bowl here, and just as a symbol of God's desire to set you free from all that. So I encourage you to reflect, to write down those things that are weighing you down, that you want to be set free from. Bring it to the foot of the cross and then go back to your seat, reflect and remember what today is all about. Take of the cup, take of the bread, and then we'll sing one final song together. Let me pray for us as we come to do that now. Well, Father God, as we come to reflect on what today brings and what today is all about, we can ask that we would be reminded of the amazing, beautiful reality of your love, but also be reminded of what it cost you your life. And Lord, may we receive that love and that mercy and be set free, amen, but may it ultimately mobilize us into a life of gratitude and thankfulness, that we may come to love others in our lives and ultimately set them free and pass on this aspect of true freedom. So Lord, as we come now to take of the cup and take of the bread, help us, Lord, to bring to mind the areas of our life we need to get right with you. The sin that's entangling us, stopping us from living our lives in full. I pray, Lord God, that as we do that, that you would set us free from all that. Remind us of your love here today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So again, as you feel led, come up, rip up those bits of paper and throw them in there as a symbol of God letting you go, and then go back to your seat and take off the cup together. sing one final song together as the worship team come back up. Let me again pray for us as we conclude our service today. Well, Father, again, we thank you for this reality. And I pray, Lord God, that as people have come and symbolically shown their desire for you to set them free of these things, the sin or the burdens or the sense of overwhelmment, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that we would all go away from this place with a renewed sense of hope and peace and comfort, knowing that you are in control, that you are on your throne, and be reminded as we look to Sunday of the ultimate victory that you have over sin and death. We pray this in your son's wonderful name. Amen.
And please join us. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me.